Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome to the program, everyone. And let's just forget convention halls, shall we? The tackily dressed up stages, orderly processions of very similar speeches, like so many flowered floats at a parade, and candidates that were told what they are expected to do for three solid days, and guess what? When they give their big speech, this is a shocker, they actually did what was expected. Is this what the American people expect out of their political system, though? Oh, yes, the pundits will cackle and howl about this or that gaffe. CNN, MSNBC, and Fox will have their predictable shades of not-so-carefully-concealed partisan outrage as well. The votes are basically an opportunity for commercial breaks. There's no suspense in the convention voting anymore. It's not just a two-party system in America. It's a two-party culture. Or is it? We decided to dispense with the convention hall business here at The Takeaway. The gavel we just tossed out the window. America doesn't need a convention, right? It is a convention. And this democracy is now in session from one end of the country to the other. Strap in. We're taking off. No red or blue from up here. What if there was a convention of all voices, all views, all parties in session, and there was some real debate? Gaffes were not the issue. Issues were the issue. And in this real debate, there was some actual suspense about how things might turn out. That's our mission, from the mountains to the valleys, coast to coast. The Takeaway symbolic convention of actual democracy is in session for the next hour. And we're going to try to pull the curtain of those adorable donkeys and elephants and give you a sense of what else is going on, being said, what else is debated, passionately believed in America in 2012. No podium, no gavel. It's the convention that's always supposed to be in session in America, and you are on the podium. Don't have a party? Well, let's say you just create one yourself. What's its name? What's your platform?
My name is James Stormhorst Sanborn. I'm calling from Concord, Massachusetts. If I were to form a political party, it would be the New Liars Party. I would promise to balance the budget, make everyone happy without giving any specifics. And when anybody asks me what the problem was, I say, don't worry, I'm just lying.
It's truth or dare. Don't let the folks in Charlotte and Tampa have all the fun. Call 8778-MY-TAKE with what you'd call your party and its platform, or post on Facebook.com/TheTakeaway. In the American political game, parties are the league, candidates are the game. You identify with a party like a fan with a sport, but it's the candidate you actually vote for. This curious tension in American politics has created a situation where a decisive chunk of the electorate claim no party affiliation at all, from 10 to 20%. But it also means no matter the popularity of any individual candidate, those candidates have virtually no chance of being elected unless they are fronted by either the Republicans or the Democrats. The two parties may swing back and forth, but they have virtually total control over the system. Remember this guy?
When will a big third party come?
Yes.
When a multi-billionaire who's liberal comes into the arena and breaks up the two-party control.
Remember Ralph Nader of the Green Party? A guy with a good point about the power behind the system, system capital S, who also helped make a pretty scary point back in 2000 about the fragility of the electoral system, small s, in the United States. Jill Stein is the Green Party nominee for president of the United States in 2012, the same party blamed for swinging the 2000 election away from Al Gore. Ms. Stein's resume, full of passion and some seasoned rejection after running for governor, losing, running for legislature, losing, and finally running for municipal office and winning. Now Jill Stein has her eye on the presidency, and she joins us now. The chair recognizes Jill Stein of the Green Party. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, John. Thanks so much.
So we've got a little time here, and I want to do a couple of things. First, I want to just give you your chance to lay out your platform, if you can, relatively briefly. What is the Green Party's message in 2012?
The message is we need an economy that works for everyday people, not for the bankers who control not only the economy, but certainly our political system as well. So as the only political party that does not accept corporate money, we actually have the unique ability to reflect the urgent needs and desires of the American people. And we are not bought and paid for. We can actually call for the real solutions that the American people are clamoring for. And I would add to this that several polls recently have showed that between 50 and 60% of the American electorate is actually calling for a third party and saying they would seriously consider voting for one. So why is it? Well, number one, we're calling for jobs, not simply tax breaks or corporate tax breaks or favors for the so-called job creators who are creating jobs in India and China. We're calling for 25 million jobs here in this country through a Green New Deal. We know how to do this. It got us out of the Great Depression in the 1930s. It can get us out of this great recession right now. And we're calling for a green version of this New Deal because it would also jumpstart the green economy that could spell an end to climate change and make wars for oil obsolete. That's number one. Number two, healthcare as a human right through Medicare for All. Basically, simply extending the eligibility for Medicare to start at the moment of conception so that everybody is covered comprehensively. It puts you back in charge of making your healthcare decisions, not a profiteering CEO, and it saves us trillions of dollars. A well-kept secret, it doesn't cost us. It saves us because it eliminates the massive, wasteful health insurance bureaucracy. Number three, tuition-free public higher education. We have a generation of students who are locked out of a future. They are indentured servants under the current system. Both Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are promising they will stay the course on student debt. That's not what we need. We bailed out the bankers who caused this problem through their waste, fraud, and abuse on Wall Street. We can bail out the students who've been the victims of that problem and provide free public higher education that is tuition-free. We know it pays for itself. We did this through the GI Bill after World War II. We know for every dollar we taxpayers invest, we get $7 back in benefits to the economy.
Okay. We're talking with Jill Stein, Green Party nominee for President of the United States. Students are victims of the bank crisis because they're holders of this debt and their interest rate reflects some of the consequences of the financial crisis. Is that what you're saying there?
Well, it's not only the debt, the skyrocketing cost of tuition so that state legislators have been able to provide big tax breaks to the wealthy. The burden has fallen on the students because the public support for higher education isn't there. Add to that the unemployment crisis, which falls hardest on their backs with 50% unemployment and underemployment for students. That really locks them in to indentured servants.
No, it was a miserable summer for college students this year, absolutely, as you point out to Jill Stein. All right. How come climate change is almost no part of the debate in 2012 between the Republicans and the Democrats, where it seemed to be on both party platforms back in 2008?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's no secret that our parties have been bought and paid for by Wall Street and multinational corporate interests. And, of course, oil, fossil fuels, nuclear power, et cetera. You know, all the dirty energy stands to benefit from staying the course. So you see deregulation of energy, the continuation of the current crisis, which is not only causing drought, heat waves, the melting of the Arctic and beyond, rising prices of food, fires, et cetera. You know, we have a disaster that is really beginning to hit the American people. The American people are calling for real solutions to climate change. They are told over and over that it's a choice between your job or your climate. In fact, that's not true at all. Have an economy unless it is in harmony and sustains the climate that our economy depends on. There is a win-win here, which they repeatedly take off the table.
Although some might say, and I think a lot of very passionately argued, that the person with the most credible Green Party agenda in American history was Al Gore back in 2000. How much did Ralph Nader and the, call it statistical anomaly, whatever you want, But the potential impact that he had on the 2000 election and Al Gore not being president in 2000, how does that set back the mission of the Green Party on environmental and climate change issues?
I think we've been in this climate of fear for quite some time. And there's a very convenient self-serving public relations campaign that's brought to you by the status quo that says it's very dangerous to stand up for yourself. If you actually look at what happened in that race, and you look at the exit polls, they show, in fact, that Nader drew equally from Democrats and Republicans, but that his real vote was coming from Ross Perot voters and independents who otherwise would not have voted. When I do call-in shows, TV or on radio, I hear repeatedly from equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans and independents who say that we have all been betrayed by the corporate big money hijack of our political system. They've had it. They are at the breaking point, and they're going to turn that breaking point into a tipping point. We're going to replace this politics of fear, which has delivered everything that we're afraid of. You know, we've had 10 years of this policy of fear, and what has it brought us? That expanding war, a president who's attacked our civil liberties, gone far beyond George Bush in expanding the war, attacking our civil liberties, providing the bailouts for Wall Street, $700 billion under George Bush, but $4.5 trillion of money distributed under Barack Obama, and far more than that in zero-interest loans,
et cetera,
free trade agreements, you name it. We got to replace that politics of fear with the politics of courage and lead the way forward. They're not going to do it for us.
Before we go, Jill Stein, Green Party nominee for president, what is the tipping point here? I mean, we've got the Citizens United era now. Isn't there some point at which a third party has to show electoral credibility? It can't continually make the argument that there's a conspiracy of corporate money that's keeping the two-party system in place.
Well, you know, a third party doesn't need to make that case. The American people, you know, are outraged and up in arms about the Citizens United decision and the hijack of our democracy. And I think, you know, we'll see. I'm not holding my breath, put it that way, that in this election, we're going to win it and in one fell swoop turn the White House into a greenhouse. However, if you're ever going to win it, you've got to begin it. And that begins with taking our democracy back, reclaiming our political voice for the public interest. And the only way to do that is through the non-corporate public interest, people-powered Green Party. And that we are going to turn the breaking point into a tipping point. We're going to do it ourselves.
Okay, let me just ask you, how many states are you on the ballot, and name as many of those states as you can so our listeners know to look?
Well, just about every state. And in fact, we are on track now to be on the state on the ballot for between 90% to 95% of voters. So we are on all the ballots in all the states which are the high population states, from Florida to California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, you name it, Texas, across the board. There are very few states in which we're not on the ballot, and in most of those we will have write-in campaigns. So I'd say go to my website, jillstein.org, and join the team and think Tahrir Square in Tunisia. Who would have thought in their right minds that that everyday people were going to get out and turn their oppressive government on its head in the course of 3 weeks. We've got 8 weeks to go now, and we could see this campaign take off like a wildfire. People largely don't know that we're here. They deserve to know, and to know that however far we get is
all right,
is a big leap forward for our democracy. If we don't turn the White House into a greenhouse, we can win the day by driving these solutions forward, which the American people deserve and which will not be on the table or even a remote possibility if we're not in it.
And all right. Jill Stein, Green Party nominee for president there, speaking at the Takeaway Unaffiliated Political Convention, looking at third-party candidates and third parties all over the United States. The Reform Party is next. Jill Stein, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you.